So let's begin this week's Parashas Truma. A couple of short ideas on this parasha. Number one. Okay. I don't have any deep ideas, just some short ideas. Vayidaber Hashem Hashem Adaber El Bnei Yisrael V'yikhu Li Truma. The question all of us should ask, a simple idea, why does it say V'yikhu Li, take for me? Why doesn't it say V'yitnu Li? Yitnu. What? Give. You shall give Truma. Why Tikhu? Isn't that what we would expect the pasuk to say? The goal is Moshe Rabbeinu here is telling Klal Yisrael that they shall give a truma. So the Baalim Musa say the following idea. They introduced this with a very popular concept of the Masechta Kedushin. If a man, in order for a man to marry a woman, he must give her one of the three techniques is Kesef Kedushin. He has to give her something of value, a Kesef. And Bizman Hazeh, the meaning is to give a tabas. There's such a halach in the Gemara. What happens if a woman gives the man a gift? The woman says to the man, I want to give you money, and by me giving you the money, we'll be married. It's not a kedushin. It's nonsense. The kedushin only works when the man... What? Oh. But generally, if a man gives a woman money, that's not a kedushin. The only exception is that if the man is a chosh of a person, a distinguished person, and he's soyne matanos, he does not take gifts, and this man is willing to accept a gift from the woman, so who is getting the benefit? The one that's getting the benefit is the woman. Even though the woman is losing money on the deal, she is giving away of her hard-earned money, but this man does not accept gifts from anyone, and the fact that he is willing to accept a gift from me, that for me is a benefit. I feel honored that I'm able to give this person a benefit. So the Gemara says this is the exception to the rule. In this case, the Kedushin indeed works. So Gavali and Musa say, I saw this in different Sram, same idea is that this idea is exactly what the Pasuk is trying to relate to us in the beginning of the building of the Mishnah. The building of the Mishnah over here, Moshe Rabbeinu is making an appeal. He's telling them, we need money. And indeed, Klal Yisrael comes forward graciously and provides for them more than it was needed. 13 different types of things are enumerated here in these first few psukim. But Moshe right away says, let me make it clear to you, people. You're not doing Hashem a favor by giving money. I'm not asking you to give money. If I'm asking you to give money, that has a connotation that you are doing the Ribbono Shel Olam a favor. No. Take from me money. Let's switch the roles. Hashem is doing you the favor by allowing you to participate in this Mishkan. Rechav Eschaim was very well known. People go, there are techniques people have when they go to raise money. Most people, when you go to a wealthy person to raise money, you beg him and you ask him, please help us, we need your help. Do us the favor and give a donation. Please help us. Chofetz Chaim, when he collected money for his needs, for different spiritual needs, he made it very clear to the people that he asked money, you're not doing me the favor. I'm doing you the favor. It's a very novel idea in fundraising, which doesn't work for everyone. You have to be a Chofetz Chaim for this to work. When you tell the people, I'm doing you the favor. I'm letting you, giving you the zuchus to have a chelek in the mitzvah, in sefer, in the yeshiva. I'm doing you the favor. And the makar for this comes from this week's parasha. This week's parasha is V'yikhu Li Truma. Moshe did not tell the people, give. Giving has a connotation, you're doing a Kadosh Baruch Hu a favor. No. Hashem is saying, I'm going to take from you. Meaning, I'm going to give you has a connotation is that I'll give you the zuchus of being participants, being partners in this noble mission of building a Mishkan for our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have over here.
And the initial in that are not exactly parallel.
What do you mean?
By saying, it's Haman Chachim that's willing to accept the gift. He doesn't ask for it. In the pasuk, it says, you should take from me.
Hashem Moshe is representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, take for me. Take for me. The point is, Hashem is not telling the people to give. Using the word...
I understand that. I'm just saying it's not exactly right.
It's not exact. But the idea, the change of word, alludes to this idea. that we have to have a whole different approach to giving tzedakah. Giving tzedakah is not that we're doing a Kadosh Baruch Hu a favor. Giving tzedakah is a zechus, that we are able to participate in this mitzvah and have a zechus. That is for our benefit, not that a Kadosh Baruch Hu needs anything from us.
That's it. You have to be willing to give, and then
leave. Asher yidvenu, if you want to have the zechus, if you want to be a true partner in this project, you have to really want. And if you really want, then I'll accept it. I'll let you in. I'll do you the favor. Yeah, that is what.
The question is that, you know, it's not talking to the people; it's talking to the people that do the collecting. I only want you to take from people who are
willing to give, like we learned in Eel, like we learned in Mishlei. Like exactly in the Mishlei, that they only take from people that are willing to give. A person is not willing to give, then it's poisonous.
He's not talking to Kali, he's talking to Moshe and the Gizbar.
Only take from people, Kalish Asher Yidvenu Libo. He's talking to those people. The fact that the whole parish is addressed in this method is trying to allude that it's a zechus. It's not that you're doing a Kadosh Baruch Hu a favor.
Moshe have a way of seeing grudgingly,
and they say Bezalel did. It says in Chazal that Bezalel knew everyone's machshava when they gave, and he took gold that was given Belev Shalem for the Kruvim, for the Aron, and the gold that was given, not 100%, he used for other Kalim which were not. He was able to figure out the Kavana, the machshava in every person's gift.
Bezalel.
It says that about Bezalel. It doesn't say that about Moshe Rabbeinu. So, okay, we do have such a concept.
Before you go on, one morning I said to someone in shul, by the day, no one came around collecting today.
So we lost out on the schus. Exactly. We lost it exactly. It's exactly the message of this pasuk. It doesn't say daber el bnei yishol, speak to the bnei yishol, the yitnu li tshuma, and they shall give tshuma. You have to rephrase the Gravimevsky's point. You have to rephrase the pasuk that kolish asher yidvenu libo yitnu es tshuma. That's what the pasuk should say. Daber el bnei yishol, the kolish asher yidvenu libo yitnu tshuma, should give tshuma. Why is the pasuk formulated in this way, where we're not telling people to give? We're saying, I'll accept, I'll let you in on the project, I'll give you the zuchus. It's a very profound idea, it's a simple idea, but it's a very profound idea. The attitude of giving tzedakah has to be that I am having the zuchus in doing the mitzvah, not that I'm doing you a favor. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here, listed in the pasuk, 13 different items. We have tcheles, we have zov, ches, mechoshes, tcheles, argonot, lashonish, v'sheish, v'sheish, v'izim. Rashi says 13. Okay, you have the Midrash and 15. And Rashi says, why, if you go and analyze all of these 13 things, you will discover kulam hutzruchu l'meleches hamishkan, for the construction of the Mishkan, oy le'big day kahuna kishe tedaktek b'chem, or for the big day kahuna. Now, that's Hashem Shad. Ein Mikro Yotzei Midei Pshuta. Rashi is telling us the 13 things are both for the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan, and for the Big Day Kahuna. However, Al Derech Drush, the pasuk does go on to say, after we have all of these various things, the Oyois Elim Yadamim Oros Tachashim Atzei Shitim Shemelam Arba Somu Shem Mishkol Tosh Asanim Avni Shoyam. The pasuk Ches says the Asuli Mikdash. The pasuk does seem to say that the purpose of collecting all of these things is for the mikdash, not for the big day kahuna. Rashi is bothered by something. What Rashi is bothered by, obviously, is that we have here the avnei shoyham and the avnei miluim. Nowhere in the construction of the structure of the Mishkan were there stones. Were the avnei shoyham and avnei miluim for the Eifel and the Choshen. So it has to obviously be referring to the big day kahuna. But on the other hand, the next pasuk says the purpose of all of these 13 things were for what? The Asuli Mikdash. Make for me, seemingly in a very similar interpretation, make for me a Mikdash, a structure. The Mikdash is not the people that are serving. The people that are serving, the Kohanim and the Kohen Gadol, wear uniforms. That's not part of the Mikdash. So Rashi goes on to explain, we have to loosely understand that when it says here in the pasuk the 13 things, the Asuli Mikdash, that's already a new section in the parasha. a new section in the parasha of the Osuli Mikdash, but the first 13 things that are listed, that's going to be both for the actual building of the Mishkan and for the big day kahuna.
Can't you say that the servants of the servants of the house were representatives of the
world? That's what Rashi's alluding to. That's really what Rashi's trying to say. But Rashi, I want to try to point out, is not the Pasha Pshat. Rashi is always saying the Pshat. But there's a difficulty. The commentators, there is a difficulty here in this Pasuk, that we are mentioning the Avnei Shoyam and the Avnei Miluim, which are things that are miyuchid for the big day, kahuna, and the pasuk seems to be describing what we need to actually build the mikdash, the shochanti b'socham. So the answer to this question is the drush, the machshavah. The answer is the pasuk, when it actually says the osli mikdash, everyone knows this, everyone heard this 100 times. The shochanti b'socham, the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is not that we have a structure. The Shechina will rest within us. Building the Mishkan is a means that the Shechina will rest in the hearts and minds of Klal Yisrael. The Asuli Mikdash, you would expect the Pasuk to say, V'shochanti b'socho, and I will rest my presence in it. That's not what it says. V'shochanti b'socho, I will rest my presence in your hearts and minds. Now, when we take that together, let's just ask one more question. In every structure, the foundation is always built with stone. Every so often we hear about a cornerstone. The dedication of the cornerstone, where you actually go out and you participate and you lay the foundation. Every structure, there is always stone. The Mishkan is unique. I guess it was portable. It was traveling through the desert. There is no stone. There is no stone. The Mishkan is made from the Adonim. The foundation is metal. It's gold, silver. It's wood. There is no stone. Where is the cornerstone of the Mishkan? The answer is, there is a part of the Mishkan, there are stones that are actually part of the Mishkan itself. And that's the Avnei Choshen and the Avnei Miluim. These stones, we assume that it's a uniform. It's just a decoration. It's a decoration you put on the breastplate, you put on your shoulders. It's just part of the uniform. It's not the Pshat. The Pasuk says, I want you to collect 13 things for what? For the structure. A structure needs stones. Every single structure in the history of this world has a foundation that's made from stones. And the stones go on the ground. And the ground, that from there is the foundation to build the entire structure. In the Mishkan, there are stones that serve as the foundation for the Mishkan. But you know where the foundation stones are, the cornerstone of the Mishkan? It's on the heart and shoulders. The Avnei Choshen and the Avnei Miluim is the foundation stone. It goes on the heart of the Kohen Gadol, who represents Klal Yisrael, and on the shoulder to carry. That is part of the structure of the Mikdash, not part of the uniform. The common understanding is you have on the Choshen, you have a part of the uniform, you have these stones. No! The Pasuk here says, I want you to collect for me 13 things to make a Mikdash. And where is the Mikdash? Where are you going to lay the foundation of the Mikdash? V'shachanti b'soichum, in you, where in you? In your heart, and carry it with you, meaning carry the symbolic message of what the structure is. Because the Shechina is not meant just to rest in the bricks and stones, the mortar of the Mishkan. It's meant to rest in you. So that totally answers all the questions. We start off this with the question, Rashi is telling us, Pashem Shat, and it says in the Pasuk, Avnei Shoyanim Luim. Oh, that's the Big Day Kahuna. The Big Day Kahuna is the uniform, and the Pasuk here mentions 13 things, some for the structure, some for the uniform. And when the Pasuk then says, V'osuli Mikdash, this is a new chapter, a new section. Now that we've got out of the way, we've made an appeal, we have all the materials for the uniforms and for the structure. Now, V'osuli Basli Mikdash will take some of the things, some of the 13 things that are mentioned above, we'll use some of them to construct the Mikdash. And we get to Parshas Tetzaveh, we'll take the other things that were left out, and we'll use it to make the uniforms. That's the Pashup Shat. The Jewish is no. The 13 things that are being collected here, including the Avnei Chosh and the Avnei Miluim, is all for the structure of the Mikdash. And the structure of the Mikdash, if you have every structure requires stone. And the stones, where are the stones supposed to go? The stones are supposed to go as the foundation. Where is the foundation of this structure? The foundation of the structure is in your heart and on your shoulder, as the pasuk concludes, the Asuli Mikdash Veshachanti Bisocham. Yeah.
Since it's on the head of the
cloth. Yeah.
So no, if you take the Jewish further.
That's not part of the, no, that's part of the uniform.
That's
no, that's something different. Yavki, that's something different. That's
why? If you're saying it's the heart and shoulder, extend it and elevate it to the head.
Okay, so maybe that's a part of the gold. The gold is also going to be used for the tzitz. Perhaps, that's okay. But the focus, we're really focusing pretty much on the stones. The Avnei Shem, the Avnei Miluim. Yeah.
A lot of times you give things, like you donate, you have leftover stuff, you donate it to Goodwill, you want to get rid of stuff. Listen, I understand, don't give me stuff you want to throw out. Only take what I want. Zos HaTrumasher T'Kumeitam. This is what I want. If you have other stuff you want to give to me, this is what you have to give.
Okay, very good.
Don't give me stuff that you don't need. Give me what I want. No, he said he makes it, the Rabbi makes it, the Salvation makes a point of saying the difference between tzedakah and this is tzedakah, the word is tzedek, means justice, and in the time when you had to give tzedakah, the Gabbai tzedakah in the time of the Beis Hamikdash had a right to go and count the this was only give what you want, only give me a Felicia Sheyudvenal. I only want you to give what you want to give, but if you whatever you give has to be what I want you to give. You can't give what you feel like giving. Give what I need
to give.
Okay, let's go to another idea. Now, the following idea is an observation. I don't have anything very deep or any conclusion, but I just want to make an observation of that with regard to the Badim. The Badim is a fascinating topic. We have in this week's parasha three of the four kelim which require Badim. The first, the utensil, the kli that required Badim was the Aron. Now, the Aron itself is Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, how many Badim the Aron actually had. Let me read you the psukim. We make the Aron, it says, Yosisa Pasuk Yudbeis. I'm starting the beginning of the parasha. Pasuk Yudbeis. When the Chumash v'tziyatzakta lo arba tabo zahav, you shall cast four rings. Where shall you put the four rings? V'nosato al arba pamoisav. You shall put them on the four sides. Pamoisav means a pamoin means a side. I think some of the Rishonim learn the pam means a leg. See, we're brainwashed that the Aron did not have any legs. The Aron was a box, and it rested on the floor, which is really very bizarre, because the Shulchan had legs. Would you put a Sefer Torah, the Aron HaKodesh, on the floor? Unheard of. You put the Aron HaKodesh on a table, on legs. So some, in fact, learned that the picture that we are all familiar with is incorrect. There are other Rishonim, that the Aron had legs. The Mizbech HaZav, no, just went down to the floor. Okay, but some learned that it says you shall put the four tabos al arba pamoisa, means on its four legs. A whole new interpretation of what the Aron looked like. Then the pasuk goes on. Now here's the difficult part of the pasuk. First you shall have four rings on the four sides, and then it repeats itself. Ushtei tabos, two rings al tsaloi hoechos. Ushtei tabos al tsaloi hashenis. Now simply according to Rashi here in Chumash, Rashi is telling us that the second half of the pasuk is is coming to explain the first half of the pasuk. The first half of the pasuk tells us there are supposed to be four rings. And now the pasuk elaborates. Of these four rings, two shall go on one side, altsaloi ho'achas, and two rings shall go on the other side. Tosfos and Masechet Pesachim says, no, there are a total of eight rings. The pasuk says, first you have and then in addition is going to be another two tabois al tzaloi ho'echos, ushtei tabois al tzaloi hashenis. And you go further, and the pasuk Gimel Yudal, it makes a lot of sense, because the pasuk repeats the badim. Then it says, yosisa v'adei atzei shitim, v'tzipiso isam zahav, pasuk Yudal. Now what do you do with the badim? First it says, v'heveisa es habadim batabos, you shall insert the badim into the rings, al tzalois. The tzalois was the second set of rings, ha'aron, loseis es haron muhem. Now you can stop right there, there's no need to continue. But yet the pasuk goes on, pasuk tezvav says, nochamo, b'tabos haron, yihiyu habadim lo yosuru mimenu. Why do we need two pasukim telling us, describing us?
And in between is it just
It doesn't say, well, the Torah, you can interpret it both ways. You can interpret it as an explanation, you can interpret it as an and. That's the beauty of the... That's the beauty of the Vav. I mean, there's a Vav, so you can interpret it both either way. Either way, it's an explanation or it's an addition. So you can interpret, really, if you want to take the Pesukim, according to Tosfos, it really means that they are going to be a total of four sets of... total of eight rings, two sets, and there are two sets of Badin. One set of Badin was al tzaloi ho'echas, which is used to carry, which would appear to me that the yud was removed. It was only inserted inside the badim when it was actually being carried, and then when you finished carrying it, you took it out. But then there was another set of badim. There was another set of badim that b'tabos haron yu habadim lo yosudu mimenu, that was never removed from the aron.
Those are the ones that stuck out on the.
That was one that stuck out against the curtain, the parochas that was mounted in the kodesh kodesh kodeshim. So here we have a total of two sets of badim, and there's much discussion. Why would we need there to be two sets of badim on the aron? Two different sets of badim. So there's one mahalach that the two sets of badim correspond to the luchos rishonos and the luchos shnios. Another mahalach is there was one set of badin that was used to carry the aron when they traveled in the midbar, and there was another set of badin that was used to carry the aron when they went out to milchama, when they went out to war during the time of Eli. Two different sets of badin. There's a lot of matayra based upon this. Tosfos, two different.
It's the same
aron. Well, even if it was, ilchor, it is the same aron. We can assume it's the same aron. So there's a lot of Torah, but. What? It's not really clear. There are tabos on the tzalois. It's not clear. We don't really know what it means on the tzalois and the pamoisov. Two different words. The pamoisov and the tzalois. According to some Rishonim, the word pamoisov means its legs, and the tzalois means its sides. And then it goes on to say there are two different sets of badin. There was one badin that was used to carry it, and there was another set of badin that was permanently attached. B'tabos haron yubadim lo yosudu mimenu, lo yosudu mimenu, that should never be removed. Okay, so we have over here. Okay, so before we go further, I just want to make this observation. We have badim that are described in reference to the aron, and according to Tosfos, it's not even one set. There are two different sets of badim. What they were used for, either luchos rishonos, luchos shnios, or maybe it was two different sets of badim. One was some of the rishonim say to go out to take it to war, and one was to carry it in the midbar. Okay, let's go now to the next set of badim. The badim that was on the shulchan. The shulchan also had badim, and the badim were inserted into four rings. You shall make four rings. This is pasuk chavav, perik chafei same perik chavav. You shall make four rings of gold. Vinosato al hatabos al arba. Here they're called the peos. Okay, notice the different words. A lot of different words. Here they're called the peos. Instead of the pa'amoisav, instead of the tzalois, the rings are on the peos. New word. And here it does not say the word viotzakta. Back in by the Aron, it says with regard to the rings, it says viotzakta lo, you shall cast. And then it says V'nosat just says v'yotzakta, and here it says v'osisa. Then when it goes on to describe the bottom, it says l'mas ha-miskeres yinat haba'os, opposite the miskeres, the board around the shulchan, olivotim levadim loseis es ha-shulchan, you're going to use these badim to carry the shulchan. Here the Torah is very explicit. It's very explicit that through these badim, with these badim, levatim levadim loseis the badim. The purpose of the badim is loseis es hashulchan. By the aron, it says loseis es aron bohem. It's similar but not exact. Okay, let's go to the next utensil. The next utensil is the menorah, and the menorah does not have badim, which is very interesting. No badim for the menorah. Then we go to the mizbeach hazav. I think the Mizbeach HaNechoshes is the most interesting of them all. Because the Mizbeach HaZov, how tall was the Mizbeach HaNechoshes? So let's assume it was, Tzmachloikis and the Gemara, was it taller, was it shorter? Let's assume that it was 10 amas tall, 9 amas tall. Now, what's the height of the average person? The height of the average person is 3 amos. Mr. Mills, can you maybe close the door? Because this, I think, is a very big draft. I think he's finished. It seems like he left, right?
Which way are you feeling for her? That way?
I'm not sure.
Well, look at the hand going
up. What? No, just close the door. You take away the draft. That'll be here.
Close the door. Set at 62, that's what.
Oh, so turn it on also. Maybe just close. First, close. Is there a draft coming in from the door?
Close the door anyway.
It's cold, man.
I'm trying to see the table.
Okay, maybe close that door also. I don't. There's no. He's finished.
62.
Okay, so we have here the shoulder. Here is a question, observation the commentators make. If you study the psukim, we learn that the badim were put by the reshes. The reshes is the net. The reshes, there was 6 amos high. And if we assume that the aron was 9 amos until the corners, which means the aron was 10 amos tall, that's almost 20 feet. Okay, between 15 and 20 feet, the ramp was a very tall, steep ramp going all the way up to the Mizbeach. And the reshes was about 6. The, what?
You're not talking about the aron, you're talking about Mizbeach.
The Mizbeach. And the Mizbeach had a reshes, had a net, and it says that the opposite, right alongside the reshes, is where you shall put the rings and you shall put the badim. How then can you possibly use the badim? It's too high for the average person. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu Chazal tell us he was 10 amos tall. Okay, Moshe was the exception. The Levim were not 10 amos tall. And even if it was true that Moshe was 10 amos tall, maybe that was all during when they were in the desert after they went to Eretz Yisrael. Who was carrying the Mizbeach HaNechoshes?
The reshes was the whole length?
The whole length. It was 9 amos. Machlokes Nigmar. But we're going to assume the Parshat was 9 amos tall. And you go look at the picture, the ring was the resh, which means that the rings for the badim were 6 amos high. The Gemara says the average, not my kasha, this kasha, everyone is kasha. The average kohen, the average person, the Gemara says is 3 amos. 3 amos means 3 amos tall. That means 6 feet, it's not really even less, whatever it is. But if the rings are positioned in the position of 6 amos, of 6 amos, it's too, it's way over your head. So who is going to be involved in carrying the the Mizbeach Hazav?
The Mizbeach was hollow, right?
Was hollow.
So it didn't.
But the way with the rings, no matter what it was hollow. They filled it up with earth when they came to rest. They filled it up with earth. But it was hollow. But the rings was 5-6 amos, and the average height of a person was only 3 amos. So what's the purpose of having a badim to carry the Mizbeach when your shoulders couldn't even reach that tall?
So you had the badim, they came down at a...
What do you mean they came down? They're traveling in the desert.
No, but your badim, don't they have to be straight going down?
You want to say the bad and they looped all the way down? Doesn't show that in the picture books. Okay, now the truth is, hey, you open up an article Chumash, I'm not making this up. Open up an article, they show you the picture of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach from the ground until the corner is 9 Amos. The Karakoyev is 6 Amos. On the Karakoyev, they show you the wings, what it says in the Pasuk. Rashi explains it. That means the Badim are 6 Amos above the ground, and the average person is 3 Amos above the ground. What in the world is going on? How in the world are you going to carry? Bishlam of the Aron is only 1 Am and a half tall, the Aron is only 2.5 tall, 1.5 tall. You could fit it on your shoulders. It makes perfectly logical sense. But now when it comes to the Mizbeach, so indeed, if you look at the Pasuk, it's very meduyak. The Pasuk does not say that you shall take the badim of the Mizbeach and you shall use them to carry. It just says that when you carry the Mizbeach, the badim should be there. When it comes to the Oron and it comes to the Shulchan, it's explicit that you shall carry the Oron and the Shulchan by using the badim. When you read the Pasuk in the reference to the
Mizbeach, was transported by wagon, wasn't it?
No, it was carried. It was carried. Mizbeach was carried, yes. It was carried on their shoulders. So that means they were holding it on their shoulders from the base, because they couldn't possibly use the badim. And indeed, if you look at the Pasuk, it was light because it was hollow. It was made from copper. So maybe we don't know exactly. The Aron, they said, was impossible to carry. They made a calculation. The Aron weighed many, many tons. So I don't know how heavy the Aron was. But they say it was Merak. The carry of the Aron was a nace. And the Luchos were very heavy. Let me read the Pasuk. Here's the Krosh and Paroiches. The Asis, Chatsa Mishkan. Okay, let me read the pasuk. V'yosisa badim la mizbeach. You shall make badim for the mizbeach. Badei atzei shitim v'sipisa sam nechoshes. Look what it says. It's a perek of zayin pasuk zayin. V'huva es badov batabaos. You will insert the badim into the rings. So all it says. V'hoyu habadim al shtei tzalois hamizbeach b'seis oso. When you carry the Mizbeach, the Badim should be there. It doesn't say that you're going to use the Badim to carry the Mizbeach. The poles. The poles. They're straight. Badim means the poles that are straight. The poles that are straight. A person is only 3 Amos.
So 6 feet even his reach is not going to get him.
6 feet above your head, how do you carry something?
How do you carry something 6 feet above your head?
Unless they have a straight dead.
It doesn't say that. Not only doesn't say it, the pasuk is very precise. When it comes to the shulchan and it comes to the aron, it says that you shall use the badim as a way to carry the aron and the shulchan. When it comes to the mizbeach, it doesn't say anywhere that you shall use the badim to carry the mizbeach. It says that when you carry it, they shall be there. It says they shall be the v'hoyu habadim al shteit salos hamizbeach b'sei so. But what do you mean a decoration? This is a functional object. What's the purpose of the badim? Okay, now let's go to the last set of badim.
Another answer.
Yeah.
All the kelim are covered with the iris, right?
Yes. Well, then they had special coverings.
Humongous, the mizbeach is humongous.
Yeah.
But the badim could have been much, much longer. They could have been 10 times as long. So at the ends, they came down lower.
Why?
That's not the pashtus.
This is not what it says. Okay. Now let's go to the next set of badim. We want to make it out. Let's go. Okay. Let's go. Let's go to the next set. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it was only 3 tamas tall. So then you have the problem. Then you have the problem. It's only according to Rabbi Yossi that says that it was 10 amos tall. And I mentioned that, right? It was 10 amos tall. Nine plus the corners. Okay, next set of badim. The next set is in Parshas Tetzaveh. In Parshas Tetzaveh, we have the Mizbeach HaZoha. The Mizbeach HaZoha is very small. But there's something very different, very bizarre about the Badim and the Mizbeach HaZoha. What?
Where's the
teretz? I'm getting there. I told you originally I don't have any teretz. I just want to make an observation. I want to point out all the different types of badin and then try to put something together. You'll help me come to some type of conclusion, some observation. Let's go to Parshas Tetzaveh. We'll review in a moment. Let's lay out the foundation. Parshas Tetzaveh is the last kli which had badin, and that was the Mizbeach Chazov. There's something very peculiar about the Badin and the Mizbeach Chazov. There are only two rings, and they were put on the corners. They were diagonal. It was a very bizarre way of carrying. If you were a sign, you were an engineer, and you would put two rings to carry anything on the corner, and you carry it on a diagonal, you would lose your job. What kind of... That's how you go in the midway. You carry it like this. You carry it on the corners like this. You have a ring over here, a ring over here, and a big pole in, a big pole here. Either you had four koyhanim or two koyhanim carrying it. It's a shiloh. Was it four? Was it two? They carried it. Two badim on the corners. Isn't that strange to carry it? If you were an engineer given the task to go and carry it, you get how you're going to carry it on the corners? Very, very strange. So sah hakol, look what's going on over here. We have here the oron. Oron is bizarre. There are two. How many sets of badim already do you need? Right, you only need one set of badim to carry it. There are four rings, and yet, according to Tosfos, there were two different sets of badim. There's the yotzakta on the palmoisav, and there are two sets of badim on the tzaloisav. We have drush, the luchos rishonos, connected the luchos shnios, luchama connected going in the midbar. I'll give you another answer in a moment. It's a very strange type of badin. And then to take also, we want to add to that what Chazal tell us, is that the weight of the Aron was so massive, right, it was humanly impossible for four people, and certainly two people, to carry the Aron. And Adarabha, the Aron carried those who carried it. Both poles on their shoulder.
But they were wider. It was wider than the person.
No, it was only 1.5 amos. That means 3 feet. How did it work? I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe you had four people carrying that. Right. You're right. So you have four people carrying it. But it was still too heavy for four people to carry. I don't know if you ever seen Lahavdil by I remember watching Reagan's Lahavdil Elifavdil's Reagan's funeral. I remember watching his funeral when they carried his casket. So they said that his casket, the guy in the caskets, they weigh a ton. And it's so heavy, the people who carry it in these state funerals only carry a couple of feet. And I actually saw they carried his casket for like a half a room, and they put it down, and then someone else came along to take it. Another group of soldiers. Exactly. So it's not. Why? So they explained, there was a running commentary. Why? Because it's so heavy, they can't carry even the Marines can't carry more than a couple of seconds. But the Aron was so heavy they couldn't even carry it off the ground. They couldn't even lift it for 1 second. So what's the purpose then? And certainly, what are the badim made out? I'd say shittim. Can you imagine a piece of wood with a thin little layer of gold carrying something that weighs 1 billion pounds? The moment you lift off, crack. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. The whole thing is the malum derech hatev. Then we come to the badim of the shulchan. That's the only one that seems to really make sense. The bottom of the shulchan. The shulchan was a light piece of wood, atzei shidim. It was plated, and you had some trays and 12 loaves of bread, and they were badim, and we didn't have the lachan padim when they traveled in the middle, but they take it apart, and that was arm's length. It was very practical. It did seem from all of the kelim, the only one that was practical was the badim of the shulchan. Haloi davar. Not the Aron, but the Shulchan, there are four rings on the four sides. It makes logical sense, and it was possible to carry it. It was the right height. Then you go to the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. It's mind-boggling. For what? For who and for what? This thing that's 20 feet tall, and you have Badim that are 6 feet above, can't possibly work. And then when it comes to the Shulchan, the Ketores, the Mizbeach HaZav, on the corners, that's not a practical type of way to carry a utensil. And the most bizarre, probably, of them all is the menorah. What happened to the Badim? What happened to the Badim of the menorah? Where did they go? Where did they go? So when you have the four kalim, and you start contrasting, obviously it makes you think. What is going on here? So only I just want to just throw out some suggestions, some ideas, just a couple of collected ideas. First of all, another two reasons why possibly there were two sets of badim on the Aroin, according to Tosfos. Answer number one, it's a drush machshava. The second set of badim are the badim that were meant for the menorah. The menorah mysteriously does not have badim. No badim. What happened to the menorah? And where can you put the badim on the shulchan? And where should you put the badim on the mizbech and the choshes? 6 feet, 25 feet up? Where? What?
You have a place to put it.
So on the menorah, there's a base. The menorah had a base, had a foundation. You put on the last two naros. I'm sure you can figure out. I'm sure we can figure out a place to put, to make for the menorah a special place. How do they carry the menorah when they travel in the desert? How do they carry it? When it came to the Aron, we can picture how they carry the Aron. Even though they couldn't carry it and it was too heavy to support, we could make a picture, a portrait, a painting. The Shulchan we can do. The Mizbeach HaZav, we can imagine, even though it's not very practical. But what about the menorah? How do they carry the menorah?
So all these kelim they had to carry by hand?
Yes, yes, not on the wagons. The only things that were carried on wagons were the crushing. Everything else was carried by kosei fiyisohu. Has to be carried on their shoulders. So how do they carry the menorah? Right side up? Slanted?
The menorah was hollow also?
No, it was pure gold. It was pure solid gold. What?
It
weighed a ton. It was probably not humanly possible to carry the menorah out of gold. And also, there's a question, how in the world did the naros, pure gold is very soft, how did the naros stand? If you take pure gold today and you either make a Lubavitch menorah, the Rambam, a V menorah, or you make it round, it's going to collapse. The weight of the last two naros, even the ones in the middle, certainly are way too heavy for it to collapse. The whole thing was l'malam l'erechateva. So what happened to the badim on the menorah? So we can say derech drush is that exactly the point, is to show that the Torah shebichsav cannot be separated from the Torah shebal peh. The menorah represents the Torah shebal peh. The menorah has to be carried. Where do you carry the menorah? You carry the menorah. These badim, they're not physical badim, and maybe physical, but they're there to teach us Musar halacha, because al pi derech hateva, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. You can't carry the aron. The little piece of wood can't lift tons of gold. There's machshava. There's something going on here. The Torah leaves out badim for the menorah and gives a double set of badim for the aron. The aron is Torah shebichsav. The menorah is Torah shebal peh. Perhaps a rayon, a machshava. I'm just throwing out ideas. The badim that were meant for the menorah were given to the aron to tell you when you carry the aron, you have to carry with you the menorah. The Torah shebichsav cannot be separated from the Torah shebal peh. They must be integrated. Okay, that's one machshava. Another machshava. What?
Carries
you, even that, right? That's but posh. It's carrying. Now it's not carrying. You're not carrying. It's carrying you. Another machshava is what else? The aron was not really the aron. We mentioned the mafarshim tell us that the two badim, according to Tosfos, one corresponds to the luchos rishonis, one luchos shnius. One is war. One is war, and one is when they travel in the desert. But the aron doesn't. Not only the aron. The aron is carrying the kruvim. There's an entire. There's a whole different. There's two kalim. There is the aron, the kapar. The kaparis is a kli b'fnei atzma. We have the kruvim. Parsim can find the malam. The shechin is resting. Where are the badim for the kruvim? Oh, so you want to say no? But maybe you need its own set of. Maybe it should require its own set of. When they're traveling the desert, you have to have a separate. They didn't in a chanami. But perhaps that's what the Torah is alluding to, according to Tosfos, that there are two sets of badim on the aron. One for the kruvim and one for the aron. Now I want to take a step further. The Torah, there are two sets of badim. According to Tosfos, when we read the psukim, it's mashmah. One set of badim you took out. You took out the kru, you took out the badim when you finished, only when you carried. And the other set of badim, we know that the aron was unique, that lo yasuru mimenu, they were never to be removed. The badim is a very bizarre thing. Why? The whole purpose of the badim is to carry. And yet, when it comes to the aron, the badim are there 24-7. Why? We came to the hilei basa arat el ha'unuch v'el. Once you come to Yerushalayim, you're done. Perhaps, with this ma'ashav, that the one set of badim is for the aron, and one set of badim is for the kruvim, the set that's for the aron you took out, but the badim that were there permanently are for the kruvim. They're the ones that, according to the Diyukim of the Pasuk, that will never take it out. And what is the Musa? What are the kruvim? The kruvim are the children. The kravya is a tinoik, a child you never let go of. The Shechina, the relationship of Kadosh Baruch Hu resting his Shechina upon Klal Yisrael is the relation of a father resting his Shechina on children. The Kruvia is the Tzura of a Tinaik and a Tinaikes, of a child. Hashem Shechina is resting between the Kruvim, which means we are Bnei Yisrael. We are the Kindelach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A child always has to know, even when he's secure, he's safe, that their parents are just, they're right there. They're just a phone call away. They're always there to hold on to, no matter what, no matter how secure and stable you feel, the badim are there. You see sometimes people, parents, they're very fortunate, 90 years old, and they have a 70-year-old son, or 70-year-old daughter, and they talk to them, like to the 70-year-old son and daughter, like they're talking to a three-year-old. A three-year-old. That's the way it is. Because a child, a parent, is always a parent. A child is always a child, no matter what, no matter how independent you are, no matter how secure you are, you have to hold on to your parents' hands. You're in the Beis HaMikdash, you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you've come El HaMenucha V'El HaNachla, but the Badim, you don't take off the Badim. The Shulchan you can take off the Badim. The Aron you can take off. The Menorah never had Badim to begin with. But the Kruvim, there are two sets of Badim. One you're taking off, one you're leaving on. One is for the Kruvim. Children always need security that their parents are there.
But it would be make more shock that the Kruvim, that the upper bottom they took out, not the lower bottom.
You have to be medayik in the pasuk.
The bottom of the aron were always there.
No, that's what I want to be medayik to know. There are two sets. There's the bottom that you have to read the psukim. You have to go back and look at the psukim and analyze it. According to Tosfos, right? According to Tosfos, according to Rashi, there's only one set of bottom. I'm only working out Tosfos. Okay, those are already two ideas. That's another idea. We were analyzing all of the bottom, none of the bottom. The only set of bottom that makes sense, al derech hateva, they are the badim of the shulchan. The aron in past, the chazal say, the aron is noisy as noisy. It doesn't make, can't be a piece of wood is going to carry 20 tons. Can't possibly be. The shulchan, the mizbeach and the chayshes, it's all the way in the sky. The ketores, too wobbly. Shulchan make, why? Because when it comes to parnosa, you have to be able to. You have to be practical. You got to have your feet exactly. You got to have your feet on the ground exactly. You got to be practical. When it comes to the ketores, the ketores is something that's spiritual. It's fragrance. So it's already nishtahi nishtaher. It's nishtahi. It's a spiritual matter. So it's not something. When it comes to the oron, forget about noiseyes noisaf. When it comes to the tersha balpeh, don't even try. Torah Shabbal Peh is Kula Ruchni. When it comes, now here's another idea, when it comes to sacrifice, comes to the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. What is the Mizbeach Karbanos? What is Karbanos? We should be the sacrifice. The animals are our representatives. When it comes to when a person, like a Kiddush Hashem, it's something you can admire. But it's not something that you can hold on to. We don't advocate human sacrifice. It's not something the Torah wants. It exists. It's real. In history, people have given up their life al Kiddush Hashem. It's a reality. There are badim that come out of the mizbeach, but it's not something you can hold on to. When it comes to the menorah, it's kul ruchni. Don't even imagine you can hold. It's not even a reality. It's something that you can physically touch. Kiddush Shem Shamayim, which the menorah, which the mizbeach hanachoyishes represents, it represents karbonis, and a karbonis represents that we should be the carbon to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. We replace the carbon with a carbon. There are badim up there, and when you move, when you travel in history, the badim are there. It's just that you don't hold on to it. It's not a way of life to give up your life l'chatchil al kids. If you have no choice, if it's done to you against your will, that's the way it is. But don't go and grab it. I don't want you, when you travel in history, this should be the derech ha'chaim to give up your life. Ketores is somewhere in the middle. Okay, what? Yeah. Okay, one last idea, one last observation. Well, I lost you in that his main parnasa. We lost it there. Yeah. No, chasush. I mean, those segulis. Okay, but these badin, there's a richness when you take the big picture and look at the aron, the shulchan, the mizbeach, hazav, mizbeach anachoshes, and the menorah, and we start analyzing, we get a whole new flavor. What does the Torah want from us? One last observation by Badin. Look at history. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the time of the Bayis Sheni by Titus. Ad Hayom Hazeh, the world, Rome, the Goyish world, they depict the victory of destroying the Beis HaMikdash by how? By what? The Arch of Titus. And what is depicted on the Arch of Titus? The Aron? Is the Aron? No. Is the Shulchan? No. Is the Mizbech Hazav? No. Is the Mizbech HaKetores? No. What do they show? They show the menorah being carried by Badin. The only one that the Torah says didn't have Badin is the one they made Badin. They made Badin, they put the menorah on the Badin, and they show Jews carrying Jews. Those are pictures of Jewish slaves. But yeah, those are the captives. Go look, I'll Google it. The people there, those are captives, slaves. They were dying from the weight. The weight of carrying was torture for them. So what do you make out of this? I know, haloidava. It's bedavka, the one thing that the Torah does not give Baden, and this for 2,000 years has been the symbol of Gaulus. Haloidava, what does this mean exactly? And in fact, the truth is, there are no Baden on the menorah, because what has carried us in Gaulus? Ein lanu shiurak haTorah hazos. And what is the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael that has carried us? Not the Torah Shebech Sav, because the Goyim have that as well. The Torah Shebal Peh. That's really what we've taken with us. We've carried with us without any badim at all. What does that mean exactly? I don't know. It's something to think about. The one thing that the Torah has not given badim to is the one thing that we have taken with us throughout all the generations, Elon Shirazos, and in fact is the one thing that is depicted in for the world to see that we've carried with us throughout Golis. And yet in the Torah there are no badim. Obviously badim is something very different. There's something very spiritual about these badim. Okay, let me just leave you with one other observation. Okay, I'll tell you a quick var. Everyone has a good offer for the Shabbos. It's a very beautiful var for Chas and Chala. The chinuch. There's an expression that the zivuk should be oile yofe. Everyone heard that expression. Why do you say the zivuk should be oile yofe? So one of the popular answers is after emes v'yatziv. Say emes v'yatziv v'nochon v'kayon v'yoshar. What?
Josh
Silverman says. Josh, that's his word. That when you wish the chosn and kal, the zivuk should be oily yafi, you mean everything. It should be emes, yatsif, nochon, kayim, yosher, nemon, ohov, chovv, nechmod, nohim, noira, adirum, sukun, betov, the yofer. Out. So it's just a summary. I'm giving you the ultimate bracha. All of the 15 things listed, you should be blessed with. That's what you oily yafi. That's a very. What? After you Krishna. Oily yafi, meaning everything plus yafi. That's a very popular var. Why you use the bracha? But there's another very beautiful var from this week's parasha. The Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch. There is a list of Mitzvahs. Everyone knows the Sefer HaChinuch article did a fantastic job. They translated it with an elucidation. And the mitzvahs are listed by number. What is the 95th mitzvah? Asuli Mikdash. V'shachanti b'soicham. What is Yafa b'gematria? I'm not a b'gematria man, but this one is a very good gematria of art. 95. So when you wish the Chasen Kala that the Zivik should be Oile Yafa, you're wishing them that you should be Zoicha. The Asuli, you build a bayis neman b'Yisrael. The Asuli Mikdash v'shachanti b'soicham. Ish v'isha shchini b'neim, shalom b'neim. So the Yafa should be, you should be Mekayim the mitzvah. 95. It's a beautiful word for a simchas chosan v'kala. In the mixture, in the mentioned kruvim. The kruvim. The mfarshim is a kasha. How come that Hakadosh Baruch Hu did not make the kruvim for Moshe Rabbeinu? Hakadosh Baruch Hu, when it came to the menorah, Hashem told Moshe make a menorah. There's going to be gevim, kaftorim, prochim. They're going to be three here, one here, one here. So Moshe says, I'm a little confused. Run it by me one more time. So Hashem said, just throw the metal into the fire, and then he threw it in and it came out. What is even more complex than the Aron, than the menorah? The Kruvim. The Kruvim, Parsech and Afayim, Lamala, there's no two picture books that show them the same. It's abstract. What exactly did the Kruvim? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to go and make Moshe Rabbeinu the menorah, which is not all that complex. It's not all that complex. Al Achas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe the Machsa Shekel. Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu he showed him the Ibrah Ashana, the Levana. Why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu also make from Moshe Rabbeinu the Kruvim, Kol Shekein, Miksha Achas, one piece of metal? Who knows what this, the Makam Hashras Hashchina? So the Baalim Musi tell us is that when it comes to what do the Kruvim represent? It represents Chinuch Habonin. A kruv is in tinaik v'tinaikas. When it comes to chinuch habanim, there's no such thing as see you later. You go to yeshiva, and I'm off to the races. Chinuch habanim only comes the only yimatzdich when it's hands on. Of course, it's miksha achas, but you gotta chisel away. You gotta. It has to be chinuch habanim. There's no such thing as throw it into the fire and it comes out by itself. Good children don't come by themselves. Good children only come through yigia, hard work, creative labor. Creative labor. So we have a var for a chasna and a var for bar mitzvah. The only thing we need is the bris. That will leave for another time. Have a wonderful Shabbos.